chapter 1. Mr. Betty, did you ever think we'd see 2021?
No, I didn't either.
To be honest, I didn't either.
Praise the Lord.
All right, but we're here, and it's July 1st, and it's Thursday night, and we're having church.
Praise the Lord God.
Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Praise the Lord. You may be seated again this evening. The title of the message this evening, simply, it is love. It is love. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Notice what Paul said, verse number 4, latter part, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. We've been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That's a key statement in God's Word. That means Jesus Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world to be the Savior of the world. Now the fact that you're saved tonight is the fact that you responded to the grace of God, and that you moved with the grace of God and you accepted Jesus Christ as a Son of God, as a Savior of the world. Because you've done that, now you are in him. Hallelujah. You're in his love. Praise God. And we know and we understand throughout the scripture, there's a lot of talk about love. There's a lot of talk about love out in the world, but they don't know what they're talking about. They don't even understand the definition of the word. They just use it to try to get what they want, when they want it, how they want it. They'll tell you they love you if it will get them something they want. But when the Bible talks about love, it is talking about the love of God. And the love of God has been demonstrated in the very fact that Jesus Christ has died for the sins of the world. So thus, love is more of a sacrificing thing. Love is more of a self-denial thing. So when people tell you they love you that you don't know, be careful. Be careful. Now, if a brother or sister says, I love you, that means they love you in the Lord. That means they will do anything to help you. They will bend over backwards to encourage you. They will pray for you. In other words, see, you know, getting the idea. Love is holiness and righteousness and godliness all wrapped up in a wonderful bundle. Hallelujah. Because that's what love will produce. It will produce righteousness. It will produce holiness. It will produce godliness. It will produce self-sacrifice. That's what love will produce. So now, notice that we are without holy and without blame before him in love. I mean, just these two verses that I've read to us tonight, to the fact that we are blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, the access that we have, the fact that we've been chosen, the fact that we've been dealt with and called upon to turn from sin and turn to God. Hallelujah. That's grace. That's mercy. That's kindness. If you never had known your sin, you would never have known the opportunity to be saved. Now, if you don't want to deal with your sin, then you don't want to be saved. But the saved always deal with their sin. Hallelujah. Because they don't want it in their lives. And they know that it does come knocking on the door from time to time. But they don't want to open the door to it. They want loose from it. They want to stay away from it. And they want the victory and the love of God that can be had in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't go looking for love in the world, because you will be thoroughly disappointed, heartbroken, and you may not survive. Go looking for love in Christ. Hallelujah. The right place. Hallelujah. To get the right perspective on my emotions, on my feelings, on. I mean, that's just the reality of what we've got to deal with. So, see, that affection, where is it supposed to be? On things above. Hallelujah. Not on things of the earth, but things above, so that we can get the things on the earth in the proper proportion. It is love. It is love. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. What do I need this for? What do I need to learn this for? What do I need this? Why will I need this? The questions, many, many times, children, young people, students. My answer, what, do you want to be dumb all your life? It's time to learn. I'm reminded, you know, I don't know whether I've seen it or heard it, and I just think of it from time to time, as a young boy talking to a grown adult that didn't really know some answers to some questions. You know, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Have you ever heard that? I've heard that, seen it, I've never watched it, but the reality, you know, there's some things that you learn in the fifth grade that you forget as an adult. What I need that for? So you can be smarter than a fifth grader. Praise God. But here the Bible says that you might understand the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. That's understanding. That's comprehension. That's learning. What I'm getting at is, if you don't want to learn in other areas, you're probably not learning in God's Word either. How long have you been coming to the house of God, and how well do you know your Bible? How many sermons have you heard, and yet you still don't know how to pray? How many sermons have you sat under and you still don't know how to put on the whole armor of God we preached about the other night? How long you been in the house of God and you're still overcome by the wicked one? How come? Because you're not learning, understanding the breadth, the depth, the length, the height. You don't think, what do I need that for? I got saved when I was 23 years old. Most of you young people are older than 23. Timmy, you're probably the closest. What are you now? 21. I was 23 years old, just 2 years older than Timmy, when I got saved. And at that age, I determined I was following Jesus Christ. I've never turned back, never wanted to turn back, but I've always been trying to go, well, I've always been, have been going forward. I ain't been trying. I've been going forward. I have been going forward for 37 years. And I have loved every minute of it with my Lord and my Savior. I have not liked the battles, the trials. Ooh, I have not liked the failures. But praise God, I have never quit, nor given up, nor even wanted to. I've been discouraged, depressed. I've been under attack. I've been verbally abused by the church. I've had lies told on me. I've had all kinds of things. And all I was trying to do was serve God and preach His Word. But when I got saved at 23, I had to determine to learn and allow God to show me the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. Or I would not make it. That's right, Sister Pepper. Hallelujah. It's not a game. It's not a free ride. It's not just a blessing. It is the kingdom of God. And I must become the soldier of the Lord, the servant of the living God. I must determine that I am going to press forward and walk with my God and learn the ways of the kingdom so I will understand the ways of darkness better. You see, you don't need to dabble in the darkness to understand the ways of the darkness. You need to understand the ways of the kingdom, and you'll already know the ways of the darkness because they're the opposite. I don't have to sin to know what sin is like. I can understand the kingdom, and I can understand the love of God. And I don't want to be without it. Woo, hallelujah. You see, all evil is, and this is what you can share with gainsayers. You know, why would God allow such evil in the world? The answer to that is God didn't put the evil in the world. Man did. Because evil is the absence of God. When Adam sinned, he ran from God. Sin, evil, is the absence of God. So if Jesus can't go with you, don't go. If Jesus wouldn't say it, don't say it. If Jesus wouldn't think it, don't think it. Whew, praise God. I mean, it's just the reality of learning the Word. Think on the pure things. Think on the holy things. Think on the righteous things. If there be any good things, if there be any just things, think on these things. Whew, praise. Now I realize you have to learn that. So if you were paying attention, you now know that. You're taking notes, you just wrote it down. It's easy to remember when you take notes. Praise God. So when bad thoughts come, what are you going to do? Don't give him room. Don't even admit that he's attacking you. Admit that you're overcoming by the power of Jesus Christ. That if he's attacking you, then you're overcoming. So don't dwell on the attack. Dwell on the overcoming part. Hallelujah. If he wants to take you out, that means you got something that he don't want you to have. Woo, praise God. Get the right mind frame. Understand. Comprehend. Get it in your head how the kingdom operates. And you can operate the same way because the kingdom's in you. Hallelujah. It's not God's afar off. He's on one side and the devil's, he's on the other side. God's in you. The kingdom's in you. Hallelujah. You have the advantage over the enemy because the king is with you. Woo, praise our God. I'm just talking about love tonight. See, this is all part of God's love. His love for us. And it's an everlasting love. God's word declares that it's an everlasting love. It's not going to change. He is for us, but he doesn't want us overcome. He wants us overcomers. Praise our God. So that we might know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That you might know the love of Christ, the power, the presence of a holy God, that I might know the love of Christ. Hallelujah. So that the enemy can't penetrate my mind. Passeth knowledge. The love of Christ is that presence of Christ, that love that Christ has for me, and in response, that love I have for him, and because I love him, hallelujah, and because he loves me, and I realize that that love there is a bond, it's strong, hallelujah, then when the enemy starts coming against my mind, I don't have to listen to him. I can listen to my Savior. I can listen to my King because I love him. That's why John told us, you know, love not the world, because it can't help you. It will do nothing but harm you, torment you, take you away from the love of God and the love you have for God. Hallelujah. And so we see then that love of Christ, it passeth knowledge. And because we don't have to give way to the lies of the enemy, we can be filled with the fullness of God. We can be filled with the Spirit of God. We can maintain a relationship with God. Hallelujah. We were just talking about this the other day about prayer. And the reality of prayer is the fact that all kinds of people pray. Muslims pray. Actually, they're more fervent in their prayers. Of course, it avails nothing. But they're more fervent in their prayers many times than we are. The Buddhists pray. Hindus pray. All cults pray. So it's not a matter of praying. It's a matter of knowing. It's a matter of relationship. It's a matter of bonding. Hallelujah. We got to have that bonding time. And that's what God's been doing around here for our young people. This is why God's moving on our young people. It's not because they're acting right or doing great. Sorry. It's because he's trying to bond with them. He is trying to let them know that he loves them. He's trying to let them know power is available for them. He is trying to woo them to where they will make the right choice, the right decision, and walk with him and know him and understand the breadth, the length, the height, hallelujah, and everything about his kingdom. Doesn't mean he's pleased with their sometimes pitiful, behavior. Because he loves them. And because he loves them, he wants them to understand there's a better way. There's an excellent way. There is a way with Jesus Christ full-fledged in their hearts and in their minds to where their desires are on the kingdom. Ooh, hallelujah. And it can be done. I said, I was only 23 years old. That's not really that old. I thought I had the world by the tail, you know. I thought I knew it all at 23. Imagine that. Some kids think they know it at 15, 14, 16, 17, you know, 13. Oh, you never heard, you know, those teenage years? Well, that's when they come to that thought and that reality, hey, I'm pretty smart. I got this under control. I can handle this. Their next step's in a mud puddle where they slip and they fall. Because pride goeth before the fall. Praise our God. Hallelujah. But it's love. It's that love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's God's desire that you be full of God. Not just young people, all of us. That we be full of God. And when the Bible talks about the fullness of God, it's talking about His love. It's talking about His righteousness. It's talking about His kindness. It's talking about His meekness. It's talking about His gentleness. It's talking about esteeming others greater than ourselves. Even if it is your wife or your husband. Hello? The greatest attack of the enemy is to try to deteriorate the proper esteem in the marriage. Wives, love your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Honor, respect. Nowhere in the Bible does it say keep a track record to determine whether you're going to respect. It says respect. If the track record's not well, then how much praying are you doing for your spouse? Are you complaining more than you're praying? I'll put it like that. Because if you're complaining more than you're praying, you're missing the mark, not the spouse. Because if you want things to change, prayer changes things. Hallelujah. And the glorious thing about it, prayer changes us abundantly when it is that prayer of faith, that prayer of relationship, that prayer of bonding. When your prayers are always one-sided, where everybody else has got to change but you, you're missing the mark. That's not love. Because it is love that will make the difference in every circumstances of life. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So, how do you walk worthy of your salvation? How do you walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we all understand we're not worthy. But yet there is a way we're to walk like we are. Because that's what Paul said. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. If you're naming the name of Jesus and you are a Christian, then right here's the way you need to be walking. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Whoa. Praise God. Of course, this is how we all walk every day of our lives, right? Hallelujah. Think about it. I mean, we don't think about it. That's why so many times we don't walk in lowliness and we don't walk in meekness. I'm going to throw this one out here because we're all guilty of it, especially in the hour we're living in, and we can blame it all on COVID. How's your dealings been with customer service at different places? Have you noticed that a lot of the restaurants are short-staffed and underhanded? And not underhanded, but understaffed. It might be underhanded, I don't know. But in other words, they don't have enough people to go around and you have to wait a little bit longer on your food. And you know, a lot of times, there's lots of places that it's not there on time anymore. And here's the one that got under my skin. I mean, Amazon Prime, 2-day delivery, shows up a week later. What? I'm paying for 2 days. Why? Same reason. They're understaffed. People aren't going back to work. They'd rather get the free ride from that unemployment for nothing. And they won't go back to work. And so sometimes our lowliness and our meekness, we're wondering, is there anybody out there competent? Have you made that statement lately? Is there anybody out there competent that knows what they're supposed to be doing? I'm going to jump back to the students. Why do I need to know this? Right, there's the reason. Do you know what you're doing when you're doing a job? Are you teachable? Can you learn things? This is where you practice. Hallelujah. Because everywhere you turn, nobody really knows how to do the job they're supposed to be doing. Or they won't come back to the job. Praise the Lord. And so we're seeing here, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is talking about church relationships. This is talking about husband and wife relationship. This is talking about friendships. I mean, it's just, this is the way we're to walk worthy of Christ. In other words, we're not worthy of our salvation, but we can walk in newness of life after we're saved. It's the least we can do. Woo! It's the least we can do to esteem someone else greater than ourselves. Hallelujah. So we see this is all in love. See, it's love. It's just when you start understanding the love of God, it's love. It's love. It's love. It is love. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So truth, shared in love, is going to help me grow up. Has anybody ever made that statement to you? Grow up. Why would they make that statement? Because you're acting immature. Back to the statement that I was going to share a while ago. How did you get so old to not know anything? How did you turn 14 and not know how to overcome the devil? After being raised in the house of God for 14 years. One thing, if you've only been in the house of God for 1 year, you don't know anything yet. You're still a babe. A baby. And you're growing. But if you're 14, if you're 15, if you're 16, if you're 13, you've been raised in the house of God, how'd you get so old and not know anything? Bible courses should be a breeze for somebody raised in the house of God. Brother Pepper, you're a pastor. You're right. I am. I have to learn just like everybody else. Just because I'm a pastor, it just don't go, it's there. All my students wish it'd go and be there, but it don't work that way. They love pulling on Brother Pepper's knowledge, but it never becomes their own. They just borrow mine. Beginning to realize that ain't helping anybody. Hello. Praise God. I'm being pastor tonight. Praise the Lord. You love your pastor still? But speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse number 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, a lot of that sometimes doesn't make sense, but it's just... It's talking about how your anatomy and how that, you know, you open your mouth, the elbow bends, fitly joined together. And especially if you put a fork or a spoon or a plate before you open your mouth, the elbow bends. Automatic goes, you know. But has anybody ever had an injury? I know Lydia hurt her foot. Did that make
kind of the rest of your body hurt too? Because, well, I mean, because the reason, because when one part is hurt, then you start using the other part more. And that's what it's talking about. Every part is supposed to be fitly joined together so everybody carries the load. But if people aren't doing their part, then the rest of the body starts having to carry more of the load. And it starts working on everybody when somebody's not doing their part. So, I'm not here to carry the whole load. The believers are not to carry the whole load. Everybody's supposed to carry their own load, their own work. Hallelujah. If you're sick, ask and pray. Don't just always talk about it. Ask for the elders. The prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Hallelujah. I believe that. We've seen that in this house. But the thing is you've got to carry the load. If you're sick, then ask. Pray. Don't just use it. Oh. But receive it. Because God wants everybody carrying their part. I realize there's going to be sickness. I realize, I so much realize as you're getting older, you know, there's going to be things that you have to deal with. But we can still pray one for another. We can still believe God. We can still help one another, encourage one another. And now, I'm not saying that we're not trying to help someone who's injured, who's hurt, because we are. Praise God. I've been in the ministry a long time, and I have realized with great understanding that I am here to bear up the load of this church, hallelujah, in prayer and before God and in preaching to you, hallelujah. And I joke, but I've got broad shoulders. I can carry a lot of load, hallelujah. And I have carried a lot of load and throughout the years, but praise God. Right now, we're all carrying the load together. And that has lightened my load. And it has lightened everybody's load. And so we're not against helping one another and bearing one another up and bearing one another's burdens. But we also are not of the persuasion of freeloading. You understand what freeloading is? That means you're not carrying your part. You're not doing your part. You're not overcoming in your life. You're not overcoming in the areas of your life. Are you getting the picture? Pick it up! Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before an almighty God who loves you with an everlasting love. Praise our God. Hallelujah. So here we see everybody's working together. Why? Because it's love. It's what love does. You see someone stumble, you're there to pick them up. You're there to help them up. You're there to encourage them. You're not there to cuddle their sin, condone their sin, but help them repent of their sin. Praise our God. You know, that's what God wants done. Victory over sin. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Paul is asking the believers to love like Christ loved you. He wants us to love everybody like Christ loves us. That means we're ready to help anybody and everybody. I realize there are some that do not want help. There are some who think they have it all figured out. They don't want to grow. They don't want to learn. They don't want help. That's why they can go somewhere else. But we, as a body of believers, we want help. We want help from above. We want help from our God. We want to grow in His grace and in His knowledge. We want to walk in love as Christ has loved us. Hallelujah. Because this is something that is acceptable to our God when we walk in love. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to close and bring her to an end here. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So in other words, I'm annoying. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. That means I really haven't accomplished anything God wants done. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I just want to interject in here. The feeding of the poor and sometimes the giving of self is not for other people. It's so I can be seen. Look what I have done. Look what I have done. See, that's not love. That's selfishness. Oh, yeah. Selfishness can be the motivation of charity. In other words, when that word charity, giving, helping, doing, it's a selfish motive, not a loving motive. Woo. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. See, love, it's not about self. See, it's always about God and others. And thus knowing when I love God and others, then God will bless me and strengthen me and encourage me and edify me, and I will grow, praise God, in His kingdom when I will begin to put others before myself. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. In other words, you ain't going to talk that way. You ain't going to act that way. You're not going to present yourself that way. Love doesn't do that. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Now, we talked about fathers don't provoke your children. But on the other turn, when we're walking in that love and we're full of that Holy Ghost, then we are not easily provoked by our children. Praise our God. Thinketh no evil. Remember what I told you, evil is the absence of God. So my thinking doesn't want to be absent-minded thinking. It wants to be thinking directed by God. Praise unto God. Hallelujah. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. What is iniquity? Iniquity is what's going on the inside of you that's wrong. That's what iniquity is. Wrong desires. Inordinate affections, wrong feelings, wrong longings, wrong lust. I mean, that's what iniquity is. Iniquity is where you are pre-planning it on the inside and waiting when no one else will be there so you won't get caught. That's iniquity. But love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in truth. That means truth is on the inside, a simulated truth. Truth is on the inside. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Beareth all things. Verse number 7. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. We're in it. When the love of Jesus is having its way in our lives, we're in it for the long haul. We're in it until rapture or grave. Endures. Endures. No matter what comes my way, I'm living for Jesus. I'm living for Jesus. I'm going to close with this. Someone's coming to the piano. It's an old song. We sing it from time to time. The title of it is Love. There is something in my soul which keeps the shadows all away. It is love, my Savior's love. Something lightens every burden, gives me gladness day by day. It is love, my Savior's love. When the tempter tries to win me, something keeps me true and strong. It is love, my Savior's love. Something makes my life a blessing to the needy in the throng. It is love, my Savior's love. When misfortune overtakes me, something calms my troubled breast. It is love, my Savior's love. Something draws my soul to heaven, that sweet land of peace and rest. It is love, my Savior's love. Soul astray, bowed in sorrow, something waits for you today. It is love, my Savior's love. It would give you peace and comfort and make your burdens roll away. It is love, my Savior's love. See, if you're in turmoil on the inside, if you're in confusion on the inside, it's because the love of Jesus is not on the inside. But when you're ready to take that step of faith into His love, then that turmoil will be lifted. That burden will roll away. And that peace, that comfort of His love will come alive. I've watched it through the years, people struggling in their Christianity. And the reason of the struggle is because they have never yet let Jesus Christ on the inside. I know. I was there once. Knew all about it. But He wasn't in there. Wasn't on the inside. I didn't have that love. I didn't have that new life. Oh, but when He came in, hallelujah, I realized this is what I've been looking for all my life, even at the young age of 23. This is what I've been looking for. That love of Jesus Christ. Oh, the precious love of Jesus. How it thrills my ransomed soul. More and more I will sing its praises while the happy ages roll. That's what the love of Christ produces. Inside our hearts, inside our souls, inside our minds, it is the thrill of our soul. Hallelujah. The peace of our mind, the comfort of our heart. Hallelujah. That's why I can thoroughly say here tonight that whatever your problems may be, what you need is God's love. What you need is opening up your heart your mind and your soul to the love of God, to the love of Jesus, and let it become part of you. Hallelujah. And quit holding him out at arm's length. Quit trying to serve him at a distance, and get on in to the glorious kingdom of God, whether it's the first time or whether it's fresh and anew. Because sometimes we let it grow cold. Is that not what Jesus said in the book of Revelation? You've left your first love. Repent. Hallelujah. And that means get it back. That means go back to him and ask him in fresh and anew. Give yourself fresh and anew. Make yourself available fresh and anew. Hallelujah. And he will come in. And he will wash. And he will cleanse. And he will renew. He will refresh. He will revive. Stand with me if you would. It is love. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Lift your hands unto the Lord and rejoice in the fact that God loves you. Hallelujah. Oh, God of heaven, we thank you for that love of Jesus.
Oh, how
we thank you for that love of God.
He loves
we thank you for the love that you pour into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Praise be to our God. Praise be to our God.
He loves you and me. He gave his life. What else could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you.
Glory to our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Just give him praise. Just worship him. The altars are open tonight. Glory, honor, praise be given unto the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.